Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, nice enough to join us here. She's not in Salt Lake City. She is she's more like us than she probably ever imagined she would be. She's been hanging out on sports talk radio down in L.A. Are you going to make it up to Salt Lake? Or is there any stories you're looking to chase up in Utah? Are you sitting this dance out, Ramona?
Yeah, sitting it out. You know, the truth is, All-Star was like, it used to be a good access event. And then I think the last, I don't know, router, you know, like, it's like, it's just a giant stage for people to ask dumb questions. And if I really need something, I would get it in another place.
Yeah, it's a like, trade show. It's yeah. Essentially what the Super Bowl has become.
Yeah.
It's not a great place to get great stories.
No. And it's like, it used to be a place to see everyone and go to all the different events, but like, I don't know. I think COVID changed a lot of that. People stopped going to things, and then if you do go, it's got to be really worth it. I'm different now. I got two kiddos, you know, so I pick my spots on travel a little more selectively.
Well, I'm a little ashamed of you because you just missed a 3-point competition in which Albert Pujols was one of the contestants.
Oh, I mean, that's big, huh?
Yeah, well, I assume that's why you would always go, and hoping that you could see a 43-year-old baseball player, see if he could make a 25-foot jump shot.
He didn't draw iron. Yeah. He didn't draw iron once, by the way.
Yeah.
not even close. Not even in the neighborhood of hitting a three.
Wow. I don't know. A 3-pointer is a harder shot than you think to hit, but okay.
Ramona Shelburne here on 95.7 The Game, and it's been a long time, Ramona. I mean, an awful lot has happened, especially around the Warriors since the last time we talked. Let's just go through the petals of the Warriors' rose right now, and we'll start with James Wiseman. What'd you think of them punting on the Great Experiment?
You know, I feel like it was a salary dump. Like, it wasn't even just the Great Experiment. It was like he was going to make $12 million next year. I think it was less about completely giving up on him and more about you just make too much money. You know, you're just going to make too much money next year. And, you know, I know that there was the experiment of his talent and this and that, but he lost a couple of years to injury. That was key developmental time. You can't get that back, and you just can't get that time with a team that's trying to win now. And some of the other kids have played more, done more with the time they've gotten. But they're also not making $12 million next year. Like, I think that really matters because I think you have to phrase any conversation about James Wiseman with like, okay, would you rather keep him than Klay Thompson? Would you rather keep him than Draymond Green? Because that's kind of what it gets down to.
Let me ask this, because this was sort of a topic of conversation the week and weeks leading into the trade deadline. Where were the other places that James Wiseman could have landed? Because there doesn't seem to have been a great demand for him. And I'm wondering almost if the Pistons took him because that was their only way of getting rid of Sadiq Bey.
You know, okay, Ray, it was really interesting for me, too, because like, the market surprised me as well. Like, a lot of conversations, you know, I remember Zach Lowe said on his podcast maybe, I want to say 6 weeks ago, and they were talking about what should the Warriors do with Wiseman? Should they keep him? Should they trade him now? You know, yada, yada. And he said something like, what if you end up with, would you do James Wiseman for Kelly Olynyk? I mean, are we there yet? Are we trading the number 2 overall pick from a couple years ago for Kelly Olynyk? Okay. That was not even on the table. Like, if they wanted Kelly Olynyk, they had to trade Wiseman and a first. Because that's how much future money was worth in this market. Like, the $12 million is actually, for next year, is actually in whatever this landscape is now. For some reason, teams were just not willing to take on guys who are guaranteed money like that. It was taking, you were having to give up first just to get rid of future money. And I don't really know what's causing that. I haven't quite got to the bottom of it, but it really surprised me because it's not how things have gone the last few years.
How about the poo-poo platter of second-round picks that got thrown around, like a tray of cocktails at a bar? I mean, it was something else that they came into such a focus after being just throwaways. Now you get 5 in one day. Okay, so the butterfly effect of James Wiseman's trade lands the Warriors Gary Payton II. but it really doesn't because he's hurt. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've been asking is how do two different NBA doctors see the same patient and walk away with such drastically different diagnoses? In Portland, he was go ahead and play. Here, they said you can't play for 2 months. I mean, that feels like the union should get involved at some point there.
It's, I think with core muscle injuries and especially a recovery from surgery, this is not my area of expertise on a medical scale. However, I have had two C-sections, okay? And I will tell you that that involves all of your core muscles, right? And
yeah,
it's like healing from that is weird. is that a good expert opinion?
Yeah.
The healing from it's weird. When your core is messed up, you have days like where I get on the Pilates chair. I still go to PT religiously because I don't want to have another back problem. Because like when you have a core problem, then you end up with a back problem. Like it just it goes from one area to the next. And it is like one day I have to fight through to finish the Pilates session. And the other day I'm like sailing through and I'm great. And so I guess the way I want to answer your question is when you have surgery on your core and they cut into those muscles, there's always weird scar tissue and weird things with the healing that doesn't always make sense in to different people, right? It's the way you feel. So I can see how you would have a different opinion on that.
Are they giving you Toradol to get through that Pilates class?
No, but my first C-section was way worse than my second.
Sure.
But, you know, it's hard to say and how one person heals from a surgery like that versus another, but like core muscle surgery, that sounds pretty rough.
Ray might want to bounce around the rest of the league. I got one more Warriors question for you.
Okay.
What do you think, if anything, they do on the buyout market? There's perfect ain't coming to town. What's the best that they could come up with?
What they really need is they just need perimeter defense. Their point of attack defense is awful. I mean, that's why they can't stop anybody. Like the backline defense, Looney and Draymond is not what it used to be, but still good enough. Sounds like a country song, right? I ain't as good as I used to be, right? But I'm still good enough. That's what they are on that side. But the front of the line defense, that's Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Steph, all those guys. They just haven't been the same players. Like they just haven't stop the point of attack, and that's why they went and got Gary. And so on the buyout market, like I don't know, there was an interesting guy that that came available today. I'm curious to see if they take a flyer on him. Moses Brown is a guy who the Clippers just waived him. He was like a good center, like he's kind of like a young kid who they were high on and they were playing, but they need to make some room. I don't see the Warriors getting involved in anybody like Westbrook. I'm curious to see if they get involved in a Kevin Love. He is a good shooter. He's a smart, cerebral basketball player.
You just had Pat Bev in front of you. Has he got anything left?
Yeah, Pat Bev. Yeah, he has some moments, especially he could have some moments in the playoffs. The question is, do you want to? There's a lot that comes along with Pat Beverly, right? How's that play in that locker room? Do he and Draymond Green, can that coexist? I don't know. That feels like two firecrackers. I don't know if you want to put them next to each other. So I don't know. To me, the Warriors' solutions are from within. They just got to play better. They got to get the guys who signed big contracts in the offseason to play better. They got to get Klay to be closer to old Klay more consistently. I think he will. He seems better lately. He seems like he's turning a corner like he kind of did last year too. They need to get Steph back where he resembles Steph. That foot injury doesn't sound great to me. Leg injury. So I think their solutions are from within, not really the buyout market.
The Lakers have won one game with their new lineup, and everybody who follows the Lakers were drooling all over it as though they had suddenly found their way to becoming the 3 seed.
Yeah.
In a realistic way, are they in this, and to what extent are they in it?
All right, so it's a math problem now. As somebody with the Lakers said to me the other day, it's a short season. I just don't have that many games. I think they have 23 games left. So we talk about the All-Star break and the trade deadline as if it's the midpoint of the season. No, it's like the quarter. We played three quarters of the season, basically. And there's not a lot of games left to make up the the bad losses they had earlier in the year. And so I was doing the math the other day. I think they need to go something like 15-8 in those last 23 to get to 500. Don't quote me on that yet. Okay, it's been a long week, but they have to win a lot of games in a row against a challenging schedule. I mean, they have a couple games with Houston, et cetera, but like they have a tough schedule ahead. And I don't know, is there enough time for the new guys to gel? Is there enough time to get on a run? Can AD and LeBron stay healthy? It feels like they might run out of runway.
If that's the case, and they miss the playoffs again,
yeah,
what do they do about next year? Are they going to stand pat with this? Because now it'll be, I think, 8 of the last 10 years they missed the playoffs entirely.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now you're becoming Sacramento. Is there a sense that maybe people in LA might be coming off the boil about this team finally?
I don't get that right now. I think if they had not done this trade for D'Angelo, if they had not been in the mix, because they didn't stand pat. Like, they actually made some pretty significant moves, and I thought all their moves were good moves, the way they pulled them on. They threaded this needle of removing Westbrook while also not taking on future money, while also only giving up one of their two future assets, bringing in some young players. Like, what they didn't necessarily need D'Angelo Russell. I mean, he's going to help them. What they really needed was just depth. They haven't had depth for a while. Like, they just don't have enough guys who can play, the rotational players. So, you know, everyone at the Lakers is really excited about Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley. They're just excited to have some dudes, right? Like, some guys who can get out there and give them a 8-9-man rotation now. And I think that, what do they do about next year? Like, what is, like, this... Rob Pelinka did a press conference where he said something like, he coined a term. I actually kind of like it. I don't know. He called it pre-agency. This is like pre-agency for us. Like, not free agency.
Pre-agency.
That was pretty creative.
Yeah.
Another word would be to say this is an audition. And, you know, they're going to have the ability to create 30-something million in cap space. If they want to keep Hachimura or not, Rui Hachimura, or D'Angelo, they would have their cap holds on the books, but you can always renounce the rights to or do a sign and trade if you want to create more space. And so I think they have a lot of options, and they can keep D'Angelo Russell and sign into an extension. They can go after James Harden or Kyrie Irving or any of the other potential free agents that are out there. They did a pretty good job opening the door for a lot of different options and just getting themselves some more players. Like, the guys they traded away weren't playing for them very much. They were not solid rotational players. And so I think people in LA felt like this took way too long to solve the Westbrook situation. But if they finish strong, if they make the playoffs, I think this group gets a crack to go for it. If they miss the playoffs, if one of the two guys or three guys gets injured, they might just, you know, start all over again with a new group of people. And they've left themselves some openings to do that.
Ramona, it had been a really long time. Thanks for letting us reach out to you. Great catching up with you. Enjoy
you.
The weekend, the All-Star break, and Monday off. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm working Monday. I never go anywhere. I got like two kids. Where am I going to go?
There you go. We're in the same boat. Yeah.
I go to the park with the, you know, I play with the baby. Like, and then I work. That's days off.
What beat are you on right now? I'm on the Paw Patrol beat. I cover Paw Patrol and the NBA. Yeah.
Paw Patrol will be there on the double. I mean, I know all the words.
Yeah. Chase, Marshall, the whole gang. We're all there for it. Thank you.
Yeah. I like Everest. He's my favorite.
Thank you, Ramona.
Bye, guys.
There she is.